Okay, let's pray together. Father, thanks for laughter and life and just the enjoyment of being together. And we ask that tonight you will teach us something through your Holy Spirit, whether it's a word of encouragement or rebuke or a challenge, whatever it is, we ask that you would do your good work in our life. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to talk tonight about GPSs. How many know what a GPS is? You have one in your car, on your phone or something. GPSs are pretty cool because it's the only time that a man will listen to a woman give directions in the car. You know, this little lady says, turn left, and I go, okay. Virginia says it, I don't have the same reaction. So GPSs are pretty cool. There are three things that are really important about GPS. One is that you have a reliable GPS. Secondly, is that you have a destination that you're going to that you know of. And third is that you follow the directions of the reliable GPS, okay? So you have this little graph thing about getting from here to there. At the bottom, we're going to start there, it has your destination. So we're going to take a few minutes. I want you all to fill this out. Three questions. Where do you want to spend eternity? How do you want to be remembered? And who on earth do you want to be faithful to? First one, where do you want to spend eternity? I'll help you with this one. There are two possibilities. Okay, so the first one's pretty easy. You want to spend eternity in hell, separated from God, or you want to spend eternity in heaven, in God's presence, in a place where there will be no tears, no sadness, cooking better than Louis. It is incredible. So you pick, I want to be in hell, or I want to spend eternity in heaven. Second, how do you want to be remembered? Like if somebody's standing up at your funeral or they're writing on your gravestone, what is it that you want to be remembered for? What major thing? Here is Mark Jacob Makus, and the what is it? What is it? Or whatever. Third, who on earth do you want to be faithful to? Who do you want to be known I was faithful to? And put that. You guys have to come on this side or you won't be able to hear. You won't have an outline and you won't get any candy. But we're not calling you out or anything. So outlines there. Okay. Anybody need more time? Okay. Anybody who is 20 years old or younger willing to say what your destination is, where you want to spend eternity, how you want to be remembered, and what on earth you want to be faithful for? Yes, real loudly. Stand up and face the crowd. Okay, here it is. Okay, is that a great destination? Yeah. What's somebody over 21? Anybody over 21 willing to read their destination statement? Yeah, adults are usually kind of shy in these situations. Yes, go ahead, Rich. Yeah. Right? Perfect. Okay, good. You know, we could go around the room, and I doubt that anybody has a really bad destination. You know, I hope I go to hell. I hope people remember me as somebody who is totally selfish, self-centered, and who do I want to be faithful to? Myself. No, we have, most of us, really good destinations, right? So we've got a, now we've got our destination. The second thing is, do we have a good GPS? We're going to suggest tonight just three GPS. One is what we call the postmodern GPS system, and that says maps are overrated. No one should tell you what road to take, because ultimately all roads lead to the same place, if there really is a place. So that's just how that's how postmoderns think. And the Bible says about postmoderns, they're idiots. Okay? It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death or destruction, right? So going nowhere will lead you nowhere. And that's where a lot of people are going. Okay, the second one is feelings-guided system. I just go wherever my heart leads me. That really feels good, doesn't it? Because some mornings you get up and you're feeling really good and your heart leads you in really good directions. But the next day you have indigestion and your heart leads you in a wrong place. Or you get dumped by your boyfriend and your heart leads you somewhere else. Or what's the Bible say about following your heart? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So how good is following your heart? No. Why? Because what happens to our heart? Our heart changes. Exactly. This is a true story. My dad was involved in the founding of this camp, and they were working on an old boat in San Pedro, where you came out of, and they'd worked all night on it. My dad was exhausted. They were on their way across. They had to bring the boat over here. And so my dad told a student who was in the boat, just point the compass due south, and you will run right into Galler's Cove, Campus by the Sea, just straight south, and that is true. So they've been out for a while. My dad woke up, and it just didn't feel right. And so he went up, and he looked, and the compass wasn't anywhere near south. And he said to the student, he said, I thought I said keep it on south. And he said, well, you know, it's kind of hard, because the boat was bouncing and the compass was spinning a little bit, but there was a cloud that was due south. And so I thought it was a lot easier to just keep fixed on that, and I've been following. Well, what's the problem? Yeah, as a student from USC, I don't know what the problem was. But anyway, he was following it, and where was it leading? Wherever the wind. See, and that's the problem if we're following our feelings, GPS. So, of course, we want to suggest that we're going to follow God's protective system. This is the only totally reliable, never misses GPS system. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, right? So we follow that, and it's going to take us the right direction. Now, keeping to the GPS, how important is that? Pretty important. Psalm 119:9-11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your GPS, right? To your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your GPS, from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, we don't all have the same GPS, the way we follow GPS. At least our settings are different. In ours, when you turn it on, they first have that little agreement you have to hit, which means, you know, if you hit something, they're not responsible and all that. But anyway, after you do that, ours gives us a choice. It says, what state are you in, right? And then it says, do you want to go on a highway or do you want to go non-highway? Both of them will get you there. Some of us are highway people. I'm a highway person. I want to get to the destination. Some people are off-highway. They want to see everything and get there 3 days later. That's fine. Both are okay because they're both following the GPS, right? But it's really important to pick the right state you're in, by the way. We were out visiting our daughter Julie, who lives in San Diego, and we brought our GPS with her, with us. We were at Costco, God's chosen department store, and we're on our way home, and Virginia said, you know, the really neat thing is that Costco's just a couple minutes from Julie's house, and we hadn't gotten there yet. We were on our way. And we're driving, and all of a sudden, Virginia said, we're talking, and Virginia said, boy, this is a long time. We should be at her house by now. In fact, this doesn't look at all like where we're supposed to be going. I had made a little error, just sort of not thinking. I hit go home. And we are on our way to Bedford, Massachusetts. So make sure you get the right state in at least. Okay, so here we're going. We're going on this road, okay? We're following our GPS. There are some natural detours. Every so often, they're doing construction or something like that. And even though the GPS says go straight, you can't, right? So you take a right or you take a left, and what's it do immediately? Recalculate. And you take a couple more, and you're back on the road. Have you lost much? No, a little bit of time. And that's like life, is it not? We have a goal where we want to go, how we want to be remembered, what we want to accomplish. And sometimes there are detours, things we have no control over. Go around them, God gets us back on. Every so often, we make wrong turns just because we're not really paying attention. Bible calls that sin. I tend to do this when I'm driving because I have a hard time multitasking, like watching that screen, listening to that lady, you know, and driving all at the same time. And so when it says turn, I think turn. But often it's not like for another 500 feet or whatever. And so I just turn first time I can. And go on some side street, and what's it say? Recalculate, and it takes me around, and I'm back on the road again. Now, I think that's like a lot of our lives. Have any of you sinned in the last month? Okay, yeah, anybody today? Anybody in the last 15 minutes? Okay, never mind. But we do we not? You know, and then God's word says, you know, that he will forgive us, and we get back on track, and we go. But the one I want to spend the most time on tonight is when we intentionally disobey the GPS, where we intentionally go against its directions. And so we want to look at a few things in that area. First, I want to look at friends. We sometimes go off this trail so that we can make sure we please our friends. That becomes really important to us, so we stop listening and we start going down the friend trail. I think friends are great. I have three of them, so I think it's a wonderful thing. But I want to ask you junior hires and high schoolers to listen up really quickly here and give attention. I want to ask the adults in here, and nobody's been pre-planned, so I don't know how it's going to turn out, but how many people that you knew in high school are you still really close friends with, and you've been out of high school for at least 15 years? How many of you have at least three close friends from high school? You've been out for 15 years. Okay, look around. Not many hands, right? Out of all these adults? Now, kids, this is one I want to hear really, really clearly, those of you that are talking and not listening to me right now. Thank you. Here's what I want you to hear really clearly. You are prone to try to do things so your friends will accept you, right? And because of that, some of you will be dead, some of you will be injured, some of you will have your lives totally altered because you wanted to be cool and accepted by your friends. And did you see the tragedy? In 15 years, they won't even know who you are. And you just ruined your life so they think you're cool. That is one of the roads that Satan takes us down. And if we keep going down that road, we're not going to get to the destination that we put, that we want to. The good thing is adults are never affected by this. Adults don't care. Adults don't buy clothes so their friends will think they're cool. Adults don't drive certain cars so they'll be accepted in their area. They don't move into certain neighborhoods. They wouldn't put their kids in a certain school so everybody will think they're cool, right? No, parents are just as susceptible to go down the friends deal. In fact, one of the things we often hear when we're counseling a couple, and let's say the woman is going to leave the man, and she says, because all my friends tell me to leave the jerk. And you know what our question always is? Hey, tell us about your friends. And you know what? Almost always, they're people who aren't following Christ. So we're susceptible to it. Make sure you have good friends. Listen to this phrase. from 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Every so often, somebody will say, well, I got into trouble, but my good friend and I interrupt them and I say, no, good friends don't ask you to do bad things. You hear that real clearly? Good friends don't ask you to do bad things. Otherwise, they're not a good friend. Because a good friend is somebody who helps you do the right thing, right? So you said, they're really a good friend. We're just doing bad things. Then you have a bad friend who's helping you do bad things. Can't say it strong enough. That's a road that tends to lead to destruction. Success. Probably adults are a little more prone to this. We want to make sure we're successful. Okay? What is success? It is following that road and starting to ignore the road that God has for us. Let me tell you a quick story about Bob Cranning. Bob Cranning is a guy who I really admire. He was filled the pulpit for Chuck Swindoll after Chuck left E.V. Free Fullerton. Bob tells the story that he was on a plane, and he is flying, and he's just getting ready to take off. He's been exhausted. And you know how you fly, and you're the only one in the three seats, and you're hoping that nobody will sit there? Well, he thought he had it, and just as they close the door, in comes this guy walking down. And he's sure, man, he is going to sit here, and he does. He's a guy who Bob described it as his suit was worth more than Bob's whole wardrobe. He had an alligator attaché case, and he had alligator shoes. And he sat down, and Bob's Bible was out on his lap. And the guy sat down, and he turned to Bob, and he said, sir, I want you to know that you are sitting next to the most successful man you will have ever sat next to. And I don't believe a word in that book. He said, I am over 1,000 people. I have companies in 3 continents. And you have never sat next to a more successful person. Well, Bob isn't shy, and he just goes back, and he says, well, that's interesting. He says, because as it would have it, you've never sat next to somebody more successful than you're sitting next to. He says, you see, I'm on my way flying home, and I am so excited to see my wife that we've been married for 25 years. We have a great marriage, and I have missed her so much. I've been gone for 3 days. And I have 2 boys. And they're like best friends to me. I go to all their events. We just have a lot in common. They're really great kids. And I actually do something for a living that helps people and actually changes eternity for people. So I guess you've probably never sat next to somebody more successful. And he turns and he's waiting for this response from Mr. Alligator Shoes. And he turns and there are tears running down his face. And he says, 2 weeks ago, I went home, and on the refrigerator was a note from my wife, said, your daughters and I have left. You will never see us again. So they talked for 2 hours. As they were picking up their luggage, Mr. Alligator Shoes said, you've probably never sat next to more of a failure than me, have you? Well, what was he saying? See, he had taken somewhere, if you had asked him 30 years before, 20 years before, how would you like your life characterized? He'd say, I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good father. I want to be thought of well. But what happened? He took the road to success, and the garment said, turn left. And he kept turning right, and he ignored it. So he never got to his destination. Do you see that? That's intentionally making that. Some of us, it may be happiness. You know, it's interesting in counseling. In our counseling office, Virginia and I hear the word happy probably more than any other word, which sounds sort of funny, doesn't it? Because people come to us because they hate their marriage or they're having trouble. And you know what they say? Don't I deserve to be happy? So they want out of their marriage. They want to be happy. We have a close friend, 25 years married, 4 kids and a wife. He just filed for divorce because doesn't he deserve to be happy? His wife nags him, and she just sort of is a bit annoying. And he doesn't want to live the rest of his life like that, because he deserves to be happy. You know, the odd thing about this is his wife says that she would be happier if they'd stay married. His four kids said, "Dad, don't do this to us." In fact, his 9-year-old son came home and said to his mom, "Mom, why is Daddy ruining my life?" And his mom said, "Well, son, what do you mean?" She said, because all of my friends are divorced that I go to school with, and their lives are ruined. Now, listen, I'm aware some of you are divorced in here. Some of you come from divorced backgrounds. We can't change history. I'm not saying this for guilt. God is able to come in and transform our lives and do incredible things as we move forward. But hear me really clearly on this. When we take that happiness line, we're not going to reach the destination. You see that? And Satan is the one who loves for us to take those side ones. Listen to what Steve Farrar says, which is great. "There is nothing wrong with desiring happiness, but horrendous problems develop when we become disobedient to obtain it." The next road I want to talk about that leads us away from our ultimate destination is hormones. You guys have hormones? I still do. I know it's hard to believe, but I still have hormones, and I understand about hormones, and hormones have led more people away from their final destination because their hormones were raging. You read Proverbs 7, and I won't take the time to read it, but Proverbs 7 talks about the young man who goes out and he gets involved with a woman who is enticing him. And listen what it says. "With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter." Isn't that romantic? That's what an affair is. It is an ox going to the slaughter. Now, most of you aren't married, junior high and high schoolers, college age, but it is critical who you're involved with. Let me tell you, there are four things you need in somebody before you marry them. You need somebody with convictions, character, compatibility, and chemistry. If you don't have all four of those, don't walk down the aisle. So, how do we pick most of our mates today? We pick it on chemistry, right? I mean, she's hot. He is, you know, this looks good. It's romantic. It'll last forever like this. We're going to be crazy about each other. Some people actually go to the second one, and they go to compatibility. Like, we both love rock climbing. We both love sex. It's meant to be. Very few people go to character. Is he kind? Is she kind? Are they generous? Are they servants? And hardly anybody goes to conviction. Do they believe God's word? Are they both Christians? Are they passionate? See, I think we need to turn it upside down. First thing you say, are we both passionate about Jesus Christ? Are we both followers of him? If not, don't even get involved. Second, what's their character like? If they're not a servant, if they're not somebody that you see convictions working out in their life, don't get involved. And then, but don't. Make sure there's conviction, character, compatibility. Make sure you enjoy doing the things that you enjoy, the passions you have. And make sure there's chemistry. Don't walk down the aisle with somebody that you think is, you know, like a dud. There's no attraction. I had somebody tell me, I broke up with Virginia twice, actually, while we were going together. And second time I said, "I think you're the most godly, beautiful, fun, you know, amazing woman. I just have no physical attraction for you." And, you know, that's what every woman wants to hear, right? And my mentor said, "Oh, go ahead and marry her. The physical attraction will come." I said, "I have been a virgin for 25 years. I am not gambling on this one." So, The scales fell off my eyes. I asked her to marry me. The rest is history. Okay. Now, next one, and I think this is the last one I want to talk about. We could have many more, but is the whole party scene. And this is especially, it's for all ages, but especially for those of you that are younger. The party scene, as you get into high school and college especially, it has a potential to derail you from the things that you have said you want to be known for and the destination you want. You know, and I don't want to meddle here, and I don't want to seem like I'm dogmatic, but I want to tell you that drinking is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. 95% of all date rape is alcohol-related. So if you want to make sure you're raped, you have a good chance, just go out socially and drink. Because then you will be less, what? Inhibited. Yeah, less there. You'll be less there. You'll be less inhibited. You know the name Natalie Holloway? Does anybody know that name? What happened to Natalie Holloway? She disappeared. 2005, where'd she disappear? Aruba. Okay, now they think they know who killed her. They're coming around to this. But you know who's responsible for Natalie Wood's death? No, her mom. Her mom. You know why? Because she let her go to Aruba with the senior class. And why was the senior class going to Aruba? So they could drink. Did every parent know that? Absolutely. Because it wasn't a school-sponsored event, because school couldn't sponsor that, so you go and drink. Why would any thinking parent send a high school group to a place where they're going to drink? Right? Now, the guy who killed her, if that's it or whatever, certainly responsible. But was she thinking clearly? No. Why? She was drunk. So I just can't say it long enough, strong enough. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't drink. Don't come up and argue with me later about the scripture says, you know, da, da, da. That's fine. Just, you can't convince me that there's any benefit in drinking. And I'm talking especially to youth, but I will talk about adults. We have met with way too many people who are getting divorced because he was on a business trip and he was in the jacuzzi and he now is in trouble for sexual assault. And you know what his defense is? I can't be responsible for that. I just had a little too much to drink. So please be careful. You may not believe me on this, but don't do anything that will make you less inhibited. I have enough trouble not sinning fully inhibited. Why would you want to be less inhibited? Now, you may not take this, so I want to show you a very, very serious DVD just sort of to wrap this section on drinking up. So if you could kill the lights and hit this, please.
When I'm out driving in my car, I like to be able to steer. So I don't drink beer. And when I try to communicate, I want for my words to be clear. So I don't drink beer. I don't drink beer, 'cause it doesn't make me feel well. And I need every brain cell I've been given. And I don't drink beer, I don't mean to be overcautious, but the bitter taste makes me nauseous. I don't drink beer. When I'm out walking round the town, I don't wanna fall down on my rear. So I don't drink beer. When I'm trying to ride a wave, I don't wanna crash into the pier. So I drink beer. I don't drink beer. I don't need to head for the mountains or wake up in the malt fountain on Sunday morning. And I don't drink beer. I don't need an advisor to know that Bud don't make me wiser.
Okay, enough said, huh? Okay. Now listen, sometimes we unplug that GPS. Do you find it annoying at times? And I want to say there are two reasons at least that we unplug it. Sometimes we unplug it because we feel the GPS has let us down. Sometimes we've had really painful things that have happened in our life, and we say, I'm not going to listen to God anymore. When our daughter Carrie was in college, our niece, who is just her closest friend, niece, committed suicide. And there was a time in Carrie's life, just a brief time, that she pulled the plug. Because how could God be leading the right direction when this happened to her cousin? But by God's grace, she realized she needed to plug it back in. Sometimes we just unplug it because it gets so daggone annoying. Because we keep going the wrong direction. And it keeps saying, recalculate, 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 and we unplug it. Sometimes we have a destination where we're headed, and we plug it in. Then as we're going, you say, oh, we should go to the store. And so you go the opposite direction, and it just keeps going, recalculate. And we just pull it because that squeaky voice gets so annoying. But then you plug it back in. And I want to say something as I wrap up tonight, and that is that it's never too late to plug it back in. Okay? No matter where you are, you have that destination in, and you plug the GPS in, it will get you to that just destination. But, and hear me real clear on that, sometimes we count on that we'll just go our own way. And when we get old or something, we'll plug it back in. Lisa, our middle daughter, had a friend who said he was going to live life wild, do everything he did, wanted, not follow the Lord at all. And when he got 50 and you could no longer have fun anymore, those were his exact words, he would plug in and come back to Jesus. What's the problem with that? Well, there are a number of problems. One is he could die at 49. And the other problem, which we often don't realize, is he missed what God had for him along the way. It's never too late to get plugged in, but you very likely will miss a whole lot if you detour for a long time. And God wants us to enjoy that trip along the way to the destination ourselves. Last thing I want read is from Ephesians 20, 20 and 21, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. See, what God has for us, what he wants for us, is even better than we probably put on that destination. And that's what he wants to give us. But what we have to do is say, okay, God, I believe your word is the best GPS. And I am going to do the best of my ability, realizing there are times I'm going to get detoured, but I'm going to come back. And I'm going to make every effort not to intentionally go. Because here's the deal. If you intentionally continue to disobey the GPS, God's GPS, don't be surprised that you don't get there. I want to close with this. Did I say I'm going to close? This is my fourth closing. Okay, so I'm going to close now for the fourth time with this. Some of you made professions of faith when you were 6 years old. And you are of the theological persuasion that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I don't want to get into a debate about that. It's not worth a time. Here's what I want to say to you, though. If you're banking on the destination because of something you did when you were 6 years old, and you have lived your life apart from Christ and are intentionally living it apart, I'd be real nervous. Because if we are part of God's family, then we will live as part of his family, right? How do you know if you're an apple tree? You produce apples, right? And so if we're living like the devil, but counting that we said some little phrase, but it hasn't affected our life, I'd be really, really concerned. And really, you're not going to want to go to heaven anyway. Because you know what happens in heaven? You're with the person that you've been avoiding your whole life. And you have to hang out with the people that you've said are so boring and they're idiots. So this is where we make our choice. Live this life with the people of God, going the direction of God, and then not only do we experience life fully here, but we also are going to do that for eternity. Let me pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you for its very, very practical nature. And we are so aware of all the temptations to get off the road, to go our own way. And we ask that you would help us to live with conviction and give us the strength, give us the discipline, give us people to surround us, to encourage us to stay on your road to the destination that you have for us. In Christ's name.